We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. The world is waking up, and this is the tipping point.
Ladies and gentlemen, Scott McKay coming here, Patriot Street Fighter, sliding into home base, barely making the tag out. I had to come at high speed to get Cinderella on time. Got Kirk Elliott. He is in the batter's box, ready to go. We're going after central bank digital currency right now. Come on in, Dr. Kirk. Let's beat up on the CBDC scumbags. I do have some interesting information for you before you get your ass out the door and get to that Avalanche game tonight.
Yes, we are going to one. It's going to be awesome. But okay, so get a load.
Here's one thing. I got to tell you this. I just got this. I forgot to tell you this. Maybe I told you when I was in Malibu, but Sasha put me on the phone with a guy. His name is M1. Great guy. He apparently manages all the sovereign funds for all of the native tribes of the world. Interesting guy. He's incredibly bright. We had a 10-minute sort of dissertation for him on what's going on. Summing it up was really cool, was that CBDC's coming in. No doubt. Summing it up, though, is that it's going to come in, and then it's just going to eventually just slowly go away. But that doesn't mean there's not going to be damage coming from people that fall for it. That's my little uptake.
Well, I 100% agree. So in a world where there's no guarantee, Scott, here's my guarantee. We're going to have CBDCs. We will.
Yeah.
But how long they last is up to us. Whether we get them or not is not up to us. It's going to happen. 90% of the central banks around the world are pushing this down our throat. We're going to get them. In fact, United Kingdom announced last week that theirs is going to be in effect by 2025. And they're limiting withdrawals to 20,000 pounds. So that's about 25,000 US dollars. Well, what if, here's a big what if, I were multi-millionaire, right? And I had millions of dollars of pounds in the bank in England, right? And they say, okay, you can only get 20,000 of them. It's like, what? Thought this was my money, right? I just thought it was. Well, they're rationing it. So what they're talking about here is rationing your income. So same thing in Nigeria last week. They're prepping for central bank digital currency and telling all Nigerians, hey, we're limiting your withdrawals out of ATM machines to $250 a week. Now, granted, it's Nigeria, right? And it's like, okay, small country, although it's one of the most populous nations in Africa, right? But here's a sad thing for, and this should be gut-wrenching to everybody watching this show, is Africa is a lot of times the testing grounds for everything nasty. Whether it's vaccines, yeah. Or, I mean, you look at what Bill Gates has done.
HIV.
I mean, So you look in Kenya, for example, 98% of all banking is done on your phone, right? So they've been testing it there. App banking, unbanks, you know, is kind of what you would call that. And so now they're limiting withdrawals. Why do they need to limit withdrawals of cash from ATMs? Well, because they're pulling cash out of the system. Same thing that they're doing in the United States. The M2 money supply has decreased by $500 billion over the last 4 or 5 months. That's half a trillion. they're pulling cash out of the system because central bank digital currency is the digital version of fiat-based money, except it's all trackable. It's all, they know everything about you. Complete transparency, rules, regulation, oversight, the ability to shut you off from buying or selling, like we've talked about numerous times, right? So people have basically come against me and said, Kirk, it's like, this is going to be the playground of the elite. They don't have to have the same rules as everybody else. Well, here's one interesting tidbit. So last week, Mark Mobius, billionaire investor, right? He has a ton of money in China. China is actually one of the front runners in central bank digital currency. And they've made it known that they want to have theirs not just tied to them. They want it to be tied to the BRICS nations as a whole. So basically equate that to like the euro for the European countries, right? It's the BRICS central bank digital currency for all the BRICS countries, which would be Brazil, Russia, India, China, now Saudi Arabia, a ton of countries going into that system, right? There's like 20 or 30 of them so far, maybe even more. So they want to back theirs with gold, right? So this is their carrot. They're dangling it out there and say, hey, everybody, our CBDC is better than everybody else's. Look, we're going to back it by gold, so you should come into our mix. But here's the problem. Once you get it in there, I don't think it comes out, right? So Mark Mobius, go to his story. Billionaire investor, has a ton of money in Shanghai, has for decades. Well, they're not letting him get his money out.
No kidding.
And he's a billionaire. Right? He's like one of the elite, right? He's one of a very, very famous billionaire investor, right? They can't get it out. So the China said, we're not changing our banking policies, right? And so what are their policies? They're telling him, you have to prove the source of all that income going back 20 years. 20 years, right? So here in America, after 7 years, you can pretty much throw away your income tax returns. Audited after 7 years, right? So there's 13 years still remaining for this guy. So it's like, what if he can't prove it? He's already thrown away all his records. It's like, well, then we're not going to give it to you unless you can prove the source of funds, right? So here's the thing. Already, not only are they rationing, and they're saying that they're going to ration in the United Kingdom, not only are they pulling money out of the system via limiting withdrawals from ATM machines in Nigeria, now China told a billionaire investor, it's like, well, buddy, unless you can prove the source of all of your income for 20 years, we're not going to give it to you. It's like, what? It's like, seriously? Since when is the money in the banks their money and not yours? Well, here's the sad reality, since you put it in there. Because when you put money in a bank, it's a promissory note. Banks are not in the business of lending money. Banks are in the business of using their money to invest for themselves. So what you're giving them with your checking deposits, your savings accounts, is a promissory note that says, at some point in time when I want to draw from the amount that I've given you, I hope that it's there. And the promissory note basically says, well, under all normal circumstances, we hope that it's there too, but it might not be because you're actually loaning it to us and we're investing it out. See, here's the problem, which is a story that we exposed about a month ago, that the FDIC only has 1.38% of all deposits covered. Well, that's not coverage, right? That's 1.38%. Unless you're one of the first two dudes to go into the bank, guys or gals, to go into the bank to get your money in a bank run, it might not be there. Or that's what those numbers tell you. And then the fact that the banks are strapped for capital so much that the reserve requirements is zero, well, no wonder they don't want to let the money out, right? No wonder they're making weird rules for Mobius that says, hey, you can't get your money out. We're not going to let you. And so we're coming up with this rule that says, hey, unless you can prove your last 20 years of income, we're going to come up with some kind of a dumb rule that we just make up on the fly that says, unless you can prove it, we're not letting you take it out. So it's like in a digital world, this is our fate for money, right? Because it's easy to shut you off when they know everything that you buy or sell. They know your spending habits. They know your propensities. They know everything. This is why they're pulling money out of the system, because with cash, it's not trackable. You can still go to a farmer's market, garage sale, whatever. Buy stuff with cash and nobody knows at all what you're doing, right? But that's what they're trying to get away from. They're trying to get into the world where they know everything about everything so they can tax you on everything. You can't be taxed on money that they don't know about, which is why now after hundreds of years, they're getting rid of paper money, going into digital. Don't be fooled by their narrative that says we're doing this to fix a broken system. In what world does it make sense, brother, that you should listen to the people that are providing a solution that broke the system? It's like, you shouldn't, right? I mean, seriously, I mean, this is wild and stupid. So here's where central bank digital currencies and you know, the title of the show, it's like, they're already preparing us to not give us our money back. They're gonna figure out a way to ration our income, to be have us be part of some digital entity in their digital world where we are a credit or a debit, and they can say what we get and when we're gonna get it and how we're gonna get it. This is their goal, it always has been, and we're starting to see that play out even now.
You know, that one thought I have is, this billionaire, what's his name over in China?
Mark Mobius.
Mark Mobius. I wonder if he happens to be one of the bad guys. I wonder if the BRICS nations are like, yeah, he's a cabal scumbag, and here's how we're going to keep all of his money. Wouldn't that be pretty cool? We'd be cheerleading their new rules to keep a scumbag cabalist from getting his money back.
That absolutely could be. So here's where I'm 100% agreement with how you open the show and after your conversation with Sasha and everybody else, right? It's like, okay, just because we're getting it doesn't mean that we need to keep it, right? So here's where we as patriots get to create momentum, because once that comes in, are we going to use it? Are we just going to accept it? You're already got one billionaire guy that's probably really ticked at it. You've got Hong Kong that just yesterday said, hey, China, we're not going to accept your CBDCs as currency, by the way. So now you've got a city state / country that's saying, we're not going to accept your central bank digital currency you want. We're not. So this is going to have a groundswell of more magnetism towards people rejecting that system that's like spyware on your bank account, right? So what are some of the alternatives that are probably going to come up? Well, you could have silver for barter, you could have a gold-backed dollar, you could have quantum financial system, you could have some other cryptocurrency. There's going to be choices that spring up right away. So this is where we then get to decide, what is it that we're going to give momentum to? What is it that we are going to allow to have traction by us accepting it? So if nobody accepts CBDCs, it's going to be hard for that to continue, right? Because there's nobody wants it. Nobody's using it, right? Now, they're going to try to force feed us and put restrictions on us and say, well, you can't buy or sell. They're going to make it difficult. But if there's enough opposition to anything, nothing is going to last, right? So here's where it is up to us what comes next.
Yeah, and when these things pop up, we've talked about this for 2 years. People are going to have to do something. That, you know, if people think about, and these are the people that are awake, I'm not talking to the walking dead. They're going to continue to walk upright at least, but dead from the eyes back, probably till the very end. But the ones that are awake, here's a problem we have in the country. The ones that are awake, people watch your show, watching all the programs, they're the ones that don't mount a fight, right? When the rubber meets the road, how many people just say, not doing it? They just go along with it.
Right.
That's the challenge. You say, how long is that going to go on whereby everybody or these people go along with it, and those few that are putting up the resistance can hold out for so long? Say, so then what does that mean? I heard somebody said this years ago, decades ago. It's been stuck in my head. It says, when the pain of remaining where you are exceeds the pain required to change, until then, nothing's ever going to change, right? So how far down that road are these people going to have to go before they realize, holy shit, I'm trapped now. I mean, now they've got me buried. You know, how far are they going to go? There's going to be a lot of us that are going to be resistant, as we always are. You know, just say no. I like Nancy Reagan's campaign. Just say no. Yeah, just say no. Just keep saying no. talking to a guy last night from Australia, Overwatch, had a phone call actually this morning, like 5 a.m. for 2 hours. And we were talking about his progression into out of the private security contract work into the, they call it different things in Australia, you know, police officer, whatever, magistrate. But when it came time for them to give a jab, he's like, he had research. He's an extraordinary researcher, not just a killer, but he laid it all out, said, so no, I'm not taking it. And if you force me to, I'm going to sue you, blah, blah. And they were like, holy shit. Yeah. They walked out of the room. Didn't make him take it. Everybody else in there, all these people in that department, boom, taking jabs, dropping dead, taking jabs, dropping dead. So maybe this round of the people that are part of the wood pile, have family members that are part of the erected wood pile that continues to be stacked up with all these dead bodies. Maybe at some point, then they're going to realize it and say, yeah, I'm not going to go with any of that. I'm not going to step into that place where now I can see what they did. If they're willing to kill all these people, they're willing to enslave them. Another thing I found quite interesting was a friend of mine in California. This is how brain dead people are still. Friend of mine in California comes from a great family, a lot of kids, like a dozen. And all but two took the jab. And he has less than a half a dozen people in his family working as nurses in California, Los Angeles area. They think they're heroes right now. They think they're fighting on the front lines of COVID and they're heroes. And one had mentioned to my friend that they have body bags like stacked like everywhere because loading up bodies in these things left and right because they're losing the war against COVID. They're killing these people. Remdesivir still hitting them with ventilators right in the middle of a cytokine storm. No HCQ, no ivermectin. The systematic murder continues in these hospitals. And these people are full-on believers in there facilitating the death of these people. So you have to ask yourself, in what forking world can you possibly live in and think that you're a hero because you're out there in the front lines thinking you're saving people from COVID and you're murdering people still in the 21st century killing fields. So how far do we have to go before people realize it and say, holy shit, everything they're telling me obviously is a lie. What does that perpetuate them to put the brakes on and say, yeah, you're not getting my money either. No CBDC. This is going to be actually, for lack of better words, fascinating to watch to see how far this has to go. And you know, when people have the greatest fear is when their money's running out. I was talking to a guy today. We were talking about silver, of course. And there are some folks say, yeah, it's not worth it for me. I only have like $600 in the bank, right? So they just, no big deal. What happens when things go really south and you're having a hard time feeding your kids? What's that $600 worth to you now when you have zero, right?
Yeah.
And if it was 600 and you did something with it, well, when that show comes down, obviously we know silver is going to go boom. So instead of 600, maybe now he's got 3,500 to get some distance for 6 months, ride it out, be able to feed his kids. So the mindset when people think, well, I don't really have that much or whatever it is, I'm not going to do anything about it. And we were talking about 401ks today. We were talking about IRAs. I know we got about 2 minutes here for you, and I'll let you cap this off. Same thing. There are people that just will continue to stay in the system or, you know, bounce us because we're talking about, hey, we get out of the system, move over here. What happens the day after it comes down at Lehman Brothers or Bear Stearns? What happens to General Motors workers the day after Bear Stearns went down? What happened to all those people? Pensions, 25 years. What happened? No retirement. You're not retiring. Yeah, I've been here 35 years. Same wrench. So I could have my $100,000 plus a year retirement. Guess what? Zero. Gone. Why? Because that's what the politicians do. They don't give a shit. So think about it from that point of view. Why do people wait until their head's nearly fully sawed off before they're like, yeah, I think I'm going to back away from this saw blade? I don't know. But for the first time in my life, for the first time out of many, many times, I understand the other side of it too. I finally said, okay, Kirk, I'm going to do what you say. What? Tell me what to do. I got $3,000. Tell me what to do with it. So,
you know, brother, I think it's just human nature to try to like what you're in. You know, a lot of times, so I work with a lot of people that have addiction issues, people in the streets, people, you know, re-entry from prison into real life, and counsel them and try to tell them, it's like, okay, we're all only one really bad decision away from why you spent 25 years in the slammer, right? It's like, we just haven't made that decision. So stop making stupid decisions, right? And start making good ones. So here's the thing, like dealing with drug addicts and heroin addicts, right? It's like, you can't tell them to change until they know that they need to change, right? It's like, they could be just deteriorating, losing their family, losing their jobs, losing their money, losing everything. And until they're laying in the gutter, half dead, and they realize, if I don't raise my hand to this hand that's reaching out to help me, I am going to die in the gutter tonight. That's when they reach out for help. I don't think America's hit rock bottom yet. I think this is the point in human nature, because we're all kind of born to be fighters, right? And not just survivors, but thrivers. And we want to fight. There's this general feeling and makeup in all of us to want to fight. Well, for whatever reason, we're stupid, and we wait until we hit rock bottom, right? Well, sometimes it's too late. That's why I try to encourage people, don't get to that point, right? Don't get to that point. But when Klaus Schwab said a few weeks ago at the World Economic Forum, you know, this is going to be a year of polycrisis. It's going to be a year of many crises, right? And so we're seeing it. We're seeing stock market collapses. We're seeing now billionaires not being able to get their money out of the bank in China, you know, because they're foreign. We're seeing escalation of things in Russia and Ukraine, you know. And so last week, Russia said, hey, Germany, hey, Poland, hey, Czech Republic, hey, Hungary, we're not going to sell you any more oil, period, because you're supporting Ukraine. Well, okay, this is a problem for those countries, because what does Germany produce? BMWs, Mercedes, Porsches, Volkswagens. I mean, huge manufacturing country, right? Well, their major supplier of oil and gas is Russia. So that's going to mean they're going to have to find it from elsewhere. Supply and demand is going to dictate higher prices. So the price of everything is going to actually go through the roof. The price of oil is going through the roof. So Russia is playing a very smart economic war here, right? So how do you dismantle your enemy? Well, they don't really have to do it with the military yet. They can do it economically by doing exactly what they're doing, by dismantling the petrodollar. Those are just some crises. All the bodies that you were talking about, well, that's another crisis, right? Imagine these are people, and the people waging this war don't give a flip about people, and they're using it to their own political motivation. It makes me sick to my stomach. Now, you've also got other crises happening, like I just read it this morning. Let's see, it had to do with So interest rates, we'll start with that. Interest rates are going to go up. So in Fortune magazine, Fed officials are dropping big warnings, you know, from the Federal Reserve, that they're going to have to raise rates more than expected as inflation stays stubbornly high. It's like, okay, I'm glad that they're saying that and actually kind of telling the truth on it, because you and I talked about this a few weeks ago, that when inflation started rearing its ugly head again, even when they're raising interest rates to slow it down, they've been tapering the rate of growth of interest rates, coming down from 0.75 increase to 0.5 to 0.25. Inflation now persisted. It's like, oh crap, our plan isn't working. We've been telling everybody that inflation's been coming down. Now inflation's going up. So the next rate hike is probably going to be half again. So we keep jacking up interest rates. It's going to put more pressure on people who already can't afford to live. So that's a problem. As interest rates continue to rise, the subprime auto delinquency rate, so people that can't really afford it anyways, they're hovering at over 6% delinquency rate. We're pushing almost one out of every 10 people that get a loan for a car that has a subprime rate isn't paying it off, right? They're just not paying their loan at all. This tells us that this exact scenario is what caused the 2009 collapse, except it was in housing, right? So it's going to move into housing as well. when people can't afford to make their payments as interest rates rise, you're going to see a bunch of people defaulting on their homes as well. Because mortgage demand for home buyers drops to a 28-year low as of yesterday. 28-year low. And so the housing market, it's boom, it's done. It's toast, right? So don't expect, you know, this to rebound anytime quick. If you're trying to sell your home, I would probably sell it now. Sell it now, lower it lower than the other prices of homes on your block, because these should keep coming down as interest rates continue to rise and as people's income continues to come down. And why do we think that they're going to come down? Well, because there's exports that are starting to basically stop coming from Eastern Europe and from Russia. So the London Metals Exchange has halted inflow of Russian-based metals into the U.S. warehouses. We're talking about cobalt, lithium, things made for batteries, right? Let alone gold, silver, and everything like that. So they're not letting it come in. And this comes ahead of the imposition of tariffs of Russia metal by the United States. So the prices are coming down. They're shorting the markets, driving the price down. So Russia can't get rid of it before the tariffs come in. I mean, this is economic war at its finest, but this, we are all going to have to face the music. And so what are other countries doing? China, for example, is investing in gold, right? They've got 4,309 tons of gold. That's more than double of what they officially disclosed, right? So then you've got the other BRICS nations, Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, United Arab Emirates, all buying gold by the thousands of metric tons, right? There's countries that are seeing the writing on the wall with everything that they've held true in the past that's been their hope, paper-based assets. The banking system as they know it, it's collapsing. And what are these countries doing? They're going into gold. We should learn a lesson from that, right? Don't be like the heroin addict that's laying half dead in the gutter and wait until you're half dead. You know, you're not gonna wake up in the morning alive until you get help. Let's not wait. When we see the writing on the wall, let's make a change now. I would rather be early than a day late and start allocating into physical assets like gold and silver to take advantage of this. So you don't have to be a digital slave in their digital world through central bank digital currency. This is why we've been shouting it from the rooftops for a year now, Scott. It's not like this just crept up on us and we're just talking about it for the first time. We've seen this coming. And we've been sounding the warning bells, and it just happens to be that now it's probably right underneath our nose.
Yeah. Well, folks, what you can do now that you know the decline continues, the actions you can take that we've taken is have a look at private advisors, reach out, get a phone call in with Dr. Kirk Elliott, get an assessment of your situation, see if it makes sense to make a move. They say it's never too late, but that is not true, because it's kind of like Jimmy Johnson when he was coaching the Dallas Cowboys or the Miami Hurricanes. His philosophy on attending business meetings, his players, his philosophy was this: better never than late. Right? Most people, better late than never doesn't work here. And it becomes better never than late if you miss it. Who knows when it's going to be? You know, honestly, I thought last fall, boom. But again, these guys continue to manipulate this thing to keep it buoyant for their purposes, the scumbags. And that's why we're still afloat, because they got to get out of the system what they want. They'll keep it buoyant for a while. So who knows when it comes. But best thing to do, go to psfsilvergold.com, do some reading, put your information in. Private advisors will reach out so you can talk to Kirk's people, get an assessment for your situation. If you're impatient, you can always call directly. It's the numbers rolling across the screen here. It's also down in this prescription or the description. My brain is fogged. Another 2-hour night last night. You can see the number there. It's 720-605-3900. Give them a call. Let them evaluate your situation and see if it's a smart move. Best way to get out of harm's way, get off the tracks. Don't do like some are doing, laying down on them, because it's going to be messy. So my friend, I know, tonight's the night you're going to get to see the Avalanche play. That's pretty cool.
Yep. Well, we have season tickets, so we go often, but they're playing San Jose Sharks tonight. It should, well, hopefully we blow them out, but we'll see. You know, it's all pushing right into playoff time, and down in your neck of the woods, the Dallas Stars are doing amazing. And Vegas is doing amazing. Seattle's doing amazing. I mean, there's some competition this year, but it's always fun to watch.
Well, see anybody wearing their Patriots Street Fighter t-shirts there, just kind of go, Kirk Elliott, Patriots Street Fighter.
I will. I for sure will.
All right, buddy. Well, listen, you guys have a great time over there, and we'll catch you coming back around next week. Ladies and gentlemen, see, that's the Sports Shorts, our quick hit-and-run economic update. Kirk Elliott, Scott McKay, Patriot Street Fighter, and that's a wrap, and we're out. Have a good night.